Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Good morning and welcome to the Claim Hunters. Today we have a great episode lined up with Subro IQ's Matt Freeman and Eric Ashley. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much. Glad to be
here.
Hey,
Chris.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For having us.
So Matt, let's start with you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been in the claims and litigation world since the early 1990s. I started a subrogation internal practice at the old Kemper Insurance in Chicago in 1993 and started a national commercial property subrogation program. After that, practiced coverage and insurance law at Zurich North America, and then went to an outsourcing company focused on the full scope outsourcing of commercial property insurance claims, and then had the opportunity to join Subro IQ 3 years ago. And I run their large loss property practice with claims with an incurred amount of $500,000 and above.
Wow.
From investigation
so big, yeah. All right. So Eric, those are some big shoes to fill. How about your background?
No, yeah, definitely big shoes to fill. I'll do my best. I come from Appalachia, small town near Hazard, Kentucky. So I started my litigation career self-employed. Self-employed, ran an office in a few different locations for about 15 years. It was going to take a very special opportunity for me to get out of that because I loved it so much. And I found that special opportunity here. Some of the things people find interesting about my private practice career was I was featured in a New York Times article, appeared in a national television show, and had several articles written about my work. But that's not why we're here today. So I'll kick it back over to you.
Yeah, no, you teased it up, so we might want to ask you a little bit. So what national television show were you in?
It was the Colbert Report. It's okay. Off now, but it was a news satire, but this was a true news story that they ran.
Yeah, and coming from Appalachia, that's a whole different world when it comes to claims. I'm sure you've seen some pretty interesting things over the years.
Yeah, subrogation and insurance, it's different in all walks of life. Financial backgrounds and financial and socioeconomic situations differ, but insurance subrogation is a common theme that runs across all.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys both have some big presentations coming up at the annual National Association of Subrogation Professionals Conference a couple of weeks from now in San Diego. Tell me a little bit more about, Matt, we'll start with you.
Sure.
It looks like you're doing a Top Gun leadership type of presentation.
I am, and I was really happy to be asked by Sally Noma, who's going to be chairing that group. There's going to be four of us, each rooted in subrogation, but with very different backgrounds. I'm a hybrid claim litigation attorney slash adjuster. Sally's in private practice. And then we have two other folks that are senior claim managers with insurance carriers. And it's going to be an interactive panel. And what it's really about is really you've got to know yourself. In order to be an effective leader, you've got to know yourself. You need to find your inner voice in not only empowering people and mentoring them, but also to drive results. And subrogation claims don't age well unless they are actively and aggressively pursued. So how does one do that without leaving your staff feeling dispirited and oppressed? And it's really about knowing your own true voice, being genuine, also emphasizing that I'm not asking people to do anything that I haven't done myself and am still doing in the trenches with them. We all have different leadership styles, different ways of approaching, and my input into this panel is going to be my background in starting a subrogation staff counsel practice at the old Kemper in Chicago, recruiting a staff, training it, learning subrogation along with them, and then going out and trying to get results for the company. And then taking those best practices later in my career and working directly with my direct reports, but also with the claim staff, with the clients that I interface with to drive results.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. And I think the whole theme of NASP this year is Top Gun. And there's so many lessons from that movie that you can learn. So I think the whole leadership focus, tying it into the Top Gun theme, I think that's going to be a great presentation. And my understanding is that is Monday the 27th
It
at
is. It is 11 a.m.
and so I'm encouraging everybody, myself included, we're going to be there. We're going to cheer you on, and they'll break that banner.
I love to work a big room, Chris. So that would be
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
that would be fantastic.
pack
I
it to
look
the
forward to it.
gills. Now Eric's got a little bit busier of a dance card. It looks like he's got three presentations. So talk to me, Goose. What's your first presentation about?
I like to segue, Chris. First thing on the agenda, though, is I'm going to be there Monday at 11 to watch Matt in action
Much appreciated.
and take in his content. It's going to be a can't miss hour for sure. The talk to me, Goose, it's a narrow topic. JPA, that one is smashed together. Work comp property. I'd say it's a narrow topic. It's extremely important. JPA stands for Joint Prosecution Agreement. It's a way that you can really find some creative angles to pursue claims through some cost containment, and you can bootstrap some smaller claims to bigger claims. Just a creative way to save some of these claims that people are always trying to find a solution. What do we do with these smaller claims? And this is one of the ways that we're going to be able to pitch that. It's going to be some ethical things. It'll be lawyer driven. So the audience is going to have to probably will be mostly focused towards attorneys, but the flavor I'm going to bring is the TPA. Because that's going to bring a three-way representation, because now the attorney is going to not only representing the carrier, but they're also representing us and the insured if they do a JPA. So there's a lot to go through in that. An hour is going to go by quickly on that one.
Yeah, that's another one. So that's 1 p.m. on the 27th, Monday the 27th at NASP. And definitely we want to pack the room for that one. And then it looks like you've got a couple more on the 28th. And for the first one, 1:15 on the 28th, which is Tuesday, fascinating topic. You're talking autonomous vehicles. And those are always are they're fascinating cases. We had one here in Florida recently where guy was driving down the road in his Tesla and he was reading a book and went under a semi and it took his head off. Where are you going with that topic?
It's a great question, Chris, because much of this is left yet to be decided. This is the future, in my opinion, of auto subrogation. We were
Right.
all at NASP last year in Phoenix. What was the big takeaway for me, at least, beyond meeting a bunch of awesome people, was riding in Waymo. The automated vehicles
Yeah.
performed way beyond my wildest expectations. I did not realize we were that far in the future today, and what
So
that future looks like. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
have you heard the story out of Phoenix about the guy that was taking a Waymo to the airport and he got to the airport and the Waymo kept going around in circles?
No, but it doesn't surprise me because it does
Yeah.
happen sometimes.
Yeah, but to your point, yeah, it is fascinating. I do think it is the future. And honestly, I think when you look at causes of accidents today, it's 99% of the time or more, it's the driver, it's the people. And is driving going to get safer as autonomous vehicles become more ubiquitous?
If you believe them, the answer is yes, because I'm sure you saw some of the data they put out. And the data they put out is that their vehicles are involved, and I think it's something like 90 plus percent less, fewer accidents than a human driver. And they've rarely been at fault. The worst case scenario so far is it's them driving in circles, can't figure out how to navigate when there are a bunch of Waymos around one another. So
Right.
it's a really interesting thing, and I think the future is now in a way, but in the next 5 years, the future is going to look very different. Next 10 years, different still. So that this is going to explore how are we going to move into that environment? How are we going to protect subrogation? How are we going to aggressively pursue it? How are we going to investigate it? So it's going to be a really informative, exciting
Oh,
hour.
yeah. No, I think you're right. The case I was telling you about, the tragic one that happened here in Florida, the family of the person that was killed is actually going after Tesla when, in fact, he was driving the vehicle reading a book when my understanding is the owner's manual specifically tells you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road.
They
So,
do, depending on the version of autopilot you're in, you're right. And
we'll
that's what
see how
goes
that
into
one
it.
plays out. It's fortunately not in one of our crazy venues. You never know. And then you've got an interesting one at 2:30 on Tuesday the 28th. And this is one I think a lot of people will be interested in. It's basically about selecting experts and who your business partners should be. So what's that going to touch on?
Yeah, that's really interesting because it's experts and legal counsel, but in a way, the same principles apply for both instances. It's going to be focusing on, and one of the new things we're going to focus on, and I'm going to add to the presentation, is business continuation. Because as we see in the expert field, a lot of folks are leaving the workforce. They're
Yes.
enjoying a well-deserved retirement, and there's not a huge roster of folks to come in behind them. So how are these experts preparing for that? That's something that we're going to focus on exploring along lines of a bunch of other things, such as competency, price, so on and so forth. You get a cheaper price, but sometimes you get what you pay for. Sometimes you find value, sometimes you don't. Same thing with legal counsel. If someone's willing to give you a cut rate, are they doing it because they really want to become a long-term partner, or is it because they're just starving and they don't have any work and they don't have any work for a reason? So there's a lot really to parse through with how you go about it. You want value. At least what I look for is value. I'm not
Oh,
driven solely by
absolutely.
cost, not driven solely by results, but the best combination of those two things. Focused on results, but we got to get a return on what we're paying for. We can't just throw money out there.
Yeah, and that's a great topic. And I think your point's well taken. I've pondered like some of these carriers are out there. They talk about their results and their challenges and why are BI severities going up so much. And then you turn around and you find out they're paying counsel $150 an hour to do work. That's the same rate we were paying 30 years ago. And it's like, how are you going to expect good results when you're really not paying for quality? Yeah, so that's going to be a fascinating, if all of these topics are going to be great. And I think I look at subrogation. I've been in this business a long time. Probably Matt and I probably started around
Yeah,
the
I think
same
so.
time. Rode our horse and buggy to work uphill
Oh,
through
yeah.
the snow both ways. Subrogation's always been a challenge. It's you look at the numbers today, and they say about 15% of all claims are closed with a missed subrogation opportunity. Oftentimes, frontline adjusters, they're busy, right? My son's an adjuster, and he'll call me up and he'll be like, "Dad, I got 13 claims today. Do you really think I have any time to do this, that, or the other thing?" It's like, I've got to move files, and a lot of stuff falls through the cracks. And how do you fix that?
You're putting your finger on a critical point, Chris. Subrogation doesn't age well, but claim adjustments don't age generally either. And
Right.
when you're the adjuster and you've got these several things, capturing coverage, getting the basic facts of loss, dealing with an insured in a possibly traumatic situation, that's a lot to juggle. And
Oh, yeah.
that's where I think a major part of the value proposition of a Subro IQ comes into play. Because
Right.
in a sense, with early notice and early involvement, we're essentially co-adjusting that part of the claim with the adjuster and taking a major responsibility off of their shoulder and a major responsibility with a successful recovery that goes right to the bottom line of the insurer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a net gain. I've always looked at subrogation, and this goes back to my days running claims organizations. It's like subrogation is critical, and you can actually use those funds to make your organization better. We had a situation way back when, you're going back about 20 years or so, but we used the old Second Look, which was
Yes.
that entity that was acquired by Subro IQ, and we brought them in and turned over a couple states, I think New York, New Jersey, and said, "All right, go. If you really can find money, go show us what we're missing." And they ended up writing us a check for $5 million in two states.
That's right, Chris. And in some years, and I saw it in the early parts of my career, those recoveries are the difference between an insurer being profitable and unprofitable.
Oh, yeah,
If you've got an
absolutely.
underwriting loss and stock markets aren't performing, there's really only one other place to look,
Yep.
and that's the subrogation stream of revenue.
Yeah, you got to bring that money back in. And your point's well taken. Like I've always told people, Subro is not going to make or break an organization, but it can make or break profitability because
Absolutely.
you can probably, there's probably about a 5-point swing either way that Subro can add to your bottom line. So if you're writing at a 102, and you maximize your subro process, you could be at a 97, 98. And,
Definitely.
the converse is true as well.
Yes, but even if it's the converse, Chris, it can at least mitigate the severity of that
Right.
loss. So instead of being at a 105, you're at a 102.
And that's huge, and that's something that I think we're really going to focus on, hopefully at the conference. I know there's a lot of discussions on this, and that's a chance to get together with clients and really dig down into what are the challenges. And I think one of the benefits that Subro IQ brings to the table is we're all coming, all three of us, right? We're coming out of claims and or legal backgrounds or both. And we've sat in those offices where people are sitting today, and the story's been the same. I remember having a boss come in and he'd be like, "Why are we so bad at subrogation?" in not so nice language. And it's like you're putting everything on the frontline adjusters, you're measuring them on 52 different metrics. Subrogation accounts for less than 2% of what they do. They just don't care about it and they don't have time to deal with it. So let's focus on the quality. And that's really what we did. And that's what I encourage people to do is look at the overall, take the Deming approach, right? The total quality approach. Because even though we're not manufacturing widgets per se, we are manufacturing a product. It's a claim file. And by taking that total quality approach and having an all-encompassing everything matters to get to the ultimate score, there's nothing upside for clients out there. So if you're inviting people to your seminars at NASP, who should be there and why should people be there?
Chris, I think everybody should be there.
I agree.
I'm just biased, especially prospective clients. They should especially be there. I'm biased. I'm joking. But no, I think it's an audience that I think it's content, at least for mine, that is well suited for anybody from the brand new adjuster that is just now getting into insurance, all the way up to the seasoned professional and seasoned litigator.
I completely agree, Eric. And for my presentation, I think anyone that is in management or anyone intrigued by the idea of getting into management, go
Yep.
in with your eyes open and know what you're getting into and listen. It's going to be an interactive presentation. Listen to the real world stories of people that have figured out and sometimes figured out the hard way, the right way to motivate people.
Yeah, no, I think those are great points. So if you were going to tell an audience one or two things about Subro IQ, what would you tell them?
We are innovative. We have a thirst for knowledge and for improvement. And we are intensely client focused.
Great points. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I echo exactly what Matt said. And speak a little further on the innovation, you can just see by one of the presentations that you're going to get out the autonomous vehicles. And then we're really skilled at cyber Cibro. And we all know how many attempts at phishing attempts we have to go through in a given day. That is going to be another big part of the future of subrogation in the PNC world.
No, I think that's a huge one. In fact, I just got tripped up on a cyber one, a phishing one yesterday. I was batting 1,000 month after month. They didn't trip me up and they got me on a really good
More
one. But
training. Don't let
you know
Misha
what? It's
hear
I'm
about
pretty sure
that.
Misha's the one that sent me
Yeah.
the email to do
I
my
know.
training.
Oh
So,
yes.
but yeah, you know what? But it's important. And it is something that we have to be really diligent about because some of these phishing expeditions are really impressive. It's like, what is this real or is this fake? I
They
really
use
think about it.
extensive social engineering to do
Yeah.
this. They really do. And
Yep.
some of the ones I see are mind-blowing. They'll spoof an email and they will mirror, they'll spoof an email, but they will tie it right back into the email chain. They'll completely mirror all the language, all the, and they'll talk and sound at least textually exactly like the people they were talking to.
Yeah, and it's only with and with the advancements in AI, it's only going to get more
Yep.
challenging.
Only get
So,
worse. And now, because now you can use AI to replicate somebody's voice, because we all know you're supposed
yeah.
to call somebody and see if that's authentic or not. But in the very, very near future, AI is going to be able to replicate that voice. And when you call and verify, you're going to have a voice that sounds just like the person you know saying, yes, this is legitimate.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-blowing. So if you're going to go, we've got a lot of prospects, a lot of clients, there's a lot of people, the who's who of the insurance industry, TPAs, reinsurers, self-insureds that are going to go to the NASP conference, what advice would you give them to get better results?
Better results in subrogation.
Yeah. Yep.
I think take a strong look at a vendor. I really do. Because I know one of the things that you mentioned before, you gave a great example about your son that's an adjuster. Listen to all the adjusting work they have. They literally just do not have time to be able to, just
Yeah.
by the very nature of the work, to be able to focus on the things that we focus on.
I totally endorse what Eric's saying, and I would analogize it to football. There are fundamental practices. There's blocking and tackling, and those things never change. Now, whether you're doing that with your own in-house staff or whether you're leaving it to a vendor that simply does nothing but this, you've got to sweat the details and you have to sweat the basics. Because if you don't, you're chasing a pipe dream. Your recoveries will literally evaporate. From my perspective, the vendor model is the way to go. But either way, it comes down to the basic blocking and tackling, early notice, early investigation, evidence preservation, and on down the line, like building a home. Without the foundation, everything collapses.
Yeah, no, those are some great analogies, and I think you guys are spot on. And Matt and Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Chris. I really
Yeah,
appreciate the opportunity.
absolutely. And I think this is going
Yeah.
to be a really good conference. I think this will be my third or fourth time in San Diego in the last 4 or 6 weeks. But
My heart bleeds for you.
yeah, worst places to spend your
You're a
time.
trooper, Chris.
But yeah, so looking forward to seeing you guys out there. And for anyone in the audience with a great story to share who wants to be on the show, please head on over to subroiq.com and hit the podcast button or send me a message on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
So
Thank you,
great
Matt.
job, guys.
My pleasure, ma'am.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.